And Wade Gershner back with you on the Sports Ticket here on KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com. Brought to you, as always, by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs, the best darn food in a railroad town. The best darn guy to cover the Big 12 is Mr. Wendell Barnhouse. He's our guest today from Big12Sports.com. Wendell, you chomping at the bit? Ready to get football season started tonight?
Yeah, it's been a long 8-9 months since we last teed it up, and I think the Big 12 is anxious to see if this is the year that they can, in year two, get a team in the college football playoff and not have to spend December like they did a year ago talking about why they didn't get in. So, yeah, a lot of excitement and ready to get things cranking.
Well, it starts tonight. Oklahoma State is at Central Michigan tonight at 6 o'clock. That's on ESPNU. On ESPN, a big game, TCU is at Minnesota, and that's at 8 o'clock. And then coming up tomorrow night, Baylor and SMU, and then we'll talk about the matchups on Saturday. It seems to be that the consensus is that TCU and Baylor are the class of the league, and Oklahoma could be a team right there at the top. Do you see anybody else that you think has a chance to win the Big 12 title?
Well, I don't know about winning the Big 12 title, but a couple teams that might sort of end up helping decide it, I think, would be Oklahoma State and West Virginia. I think those two teams are teams that are going to be maybe, you know, possible dark horse contenders to win it all, but I think they're going to finish in the top half of the league, and particularly in November, TCU and Baylor both have to go on the road to both Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. So Oklahoma State's in a position where they also get Oklahoma coming to Stillwater. Oklahoma State's schedule sets up really well in November, but, you know, I think that the Cowboys and the Mountaineers are both pretty solid. They got a lot of players coming back. They've got a couple of young quarterbacks who got some experience last year and look like they're going to be in pretty good shape as far as leading their offenses this year. So I kind of like Oklahoma State and West Virginia, but you know, definitely, at least the way it looks before things actually get started, you know, TCU and Baylor are right up at the top. And Oklahoma is intriguing because they've made a lot of changes. Baker Mayfield's a new quarterback. They've got a new offensive system, and they've got to do something to get their defense better. You assume that they're going to be better defensively. So they're one of those teams that a lot of people are saying they could be kind of like TCU was last year, kind of a team that really comes out of nowhere with a new offense and really kind of sets the college football world on fire, maybe. And they could be a team that we're talking about in late November, December, as a team that's maybe winning the Big 12 and shot for the college football playoff.
Wendell Barnhouse with us, Big12Sports.com. We're breaking down the Big 12 college football season. It gets started tonight. Oklahoma State, TCU in action, Baylor tomorrow, and then the rest of the league on Saturday. So let's go through these teams one by one. Let's start with TCU. TCU seems to be the favorite by many. Trevon Boykin, maybe he is a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Yep.
TCU's offense looks to be loaded. They're tough to stop. But I was reading a review of TCU the other day and said TCU might be able to score points at will, but for a rare circumstance, Gary Patterson's defense could have a lot of issues, and they could be in a lot of high-scoring games. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's the way it looks like right now. Now, the one thing about, the thing that would be to counter that argument is the fact Gary Patterson is one heck of a defensive coach. Now, he's the head coach, but he's still, in effect, the defensive coordinator. And he's going to really be working with this defense all year long. And the deal is, you know, they've got to replace both the linebackers. They play a 4-2-5 setup, so the linebackers are really important in that. And some of the playmakers, they've got to replace at least two of the secondary guys. So, you know, they've got to come up with some guys that are kind of right now untested that have to make plays. They're actually going to probably start a true freshman. Mike Freeze is going to be one of the linebackers who starts. He was in there for spring practice and was impressive during spring ball. It looks like he's continued to be that way. But, you know, anytime you're putting a freshman out there at one of the linebacker spots, you just don't know what you're going to get. So, yeah, it would appear that at least early in the season until, you know, the defense can kind of get some guys acclimated and get some guys with more experience, it would appear that TCU is going to have to rely on its offense, which isn't a bad thing because Boykin, as you said, is back, and he's got almost all his weapons back as far as playmakers are concerned. So there really doesn't seem to be many concerns for TCU offensively. But, you know, if TCU is going to get into the college football playoff and you know, win the Big 12, this defense is going to have to develop during the season. But, like I said, Patterson is a guy that knows how to do that.
TCU and Baylor, co-champions of the Big 12, that certainly didn't sit too well with some people, of course, last year. Of course, if you go with the new tiebreaker situation, mm-hmm. Baylor would have been the conference champion last year because they beat TCU head-to-head 61-58. So let's talk about Baylor, a team that has to replace their quarterback. That's never easy, yep. although at Baylor it seems to be pretty seamless. They've got just a ton of talent. Lockwood, I believe, back at running back. Mm-hmm. How do you size up Baylor in the Big 12 this year?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, and I think Baylor, Art Briles kind of referred to it at Media Day last month, the fact that, they're the two-time defending champions, and they've got like 18 starters back, and they're not picked to win the league. And, I think Baylor still is going to have a chip on its shoulder this year because of that, saying that, okay, look, we've won it 2 years in a row, and it's not like we've got to replace everybody. We've got a lot of people coming back. We may have our best defense that Art Briles has ever had in Waco, and you guys don't think we can win the league. So they've got some incentive there, no doubt. And it's a little bit like, I think the reason TCU got picked is because they get to play Baylor at home at the end of the season, and they've got Boykin back at quarterback. As you said, though, Baylor's had no problem plugging in a quarterback from Robert Griffin III to Nick Florence for a year, then Bryce Petty the last 2 years. Now Seth Russell takes over. He's a junior. He's actually got quite a bit of experience. He's played quite a bit the last 2 years as Petty's backup in kind of mop-up roles. This guy's like 6'3", about 220, and he is really fast. So the one aspect to the Baylor offense that might be different this year is that you may see more zone read quarterback running plays. This guy is able to make some plays with his legs. He's also a really good passer, and they've got probably the deepest set of receivers in the Big 12. And as you mentioned, Shaq Linwood's back at running back. He rushed for 1,000 yards. They've got 2,000-yard receivers coming back in Coleman and Cannon. They seem to have just about everything. Offensive line's complete. And, their defensive line with Sean Oakman and Andrew Billings, those guys are both All-America candidates. They may have the best defensive line in the country. So Baylor is going to be pretty salty and pretty stout. And, if it does come down to a TCU-Baylor matchup, both of those teams undefeated at the end of November, that's going to probably be one of the showcase games of the season. But, Baylor's going into this season, thinking that, hey, particularly the way the last 2 years have ended, they lost to Central Florida in a BCS game last year. They had the Cotton Bowl game where they had a 20-point lead, let it get away. Baylor's coming into this season feeling like they have unfinished business as far as not being able to cap off season with bowl wins. And I think they definitely want to try to reverse that this year.
Baylor also will have the biggest tight end in football history.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, Baylor, I read there's a Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports likes to do his Freaks of College Football, where he lists the 25 guys that have the, at different positions that are your, weightlifting guys or fast guys or combinations of those things. And I think he had four Baylor players listed. And Laquan McGowan, I don't know if he was one of those, but he's a 400-pound, 6'7" tight end who people probably, if they watched the Cotton Bowl, they would remember that he was an offensive lineman last year, but they lined him up as a tight end in a special play, and he went like 18 yards on a touchdown pass and, pretty much blew up the internet because of that play. They've decided to move him to tight end full-time, and he's probably only going to get 15 to 20 snaps a game. But, when he's in the game, you basically have another offensive lineman on the field for, running plays with either Linwood or Russell, or you've got a guy that, if you're going to throw the ball, can get down the seam, and if you get the pass to him, I don't know who's going to be able to tackle him. So it's just another aspect that Baylor has these players. Sean Open on the defensive side is also a freakish athlete as far as speed and strength and all that sort of stuff. Baylor has a lot of guys that just really wow you, and if they get it all put together, I wouldn't be surprised to see them in the college football playoff.
There is that perception outside the Big 12 that maybe even within the Big 12 a little bit is that, Baylor, all they do is throw the ball a lot. They're one of the top rushing offenses.
Exactly.
They have been for quite some time, and then you add another lineman like that, and I love the name Shock. That's just a great name for a running back.
Cool. They have a shock and awe offense.
Yes, you're right
about the running game because they spread people out so much.
Yeah.
They use the whole width of the field. They've got guys that can go deep. The defense is spread all out over the field, and they play so fast that they get off 80 to 90 plays a game. So there's so many opportunities there to throw it 40 or 50 times and still run it, you know, 30, 40 times. That's why, you know, they build themselves as America's most exciting offense, and it really is.
Talking to Wendell Barnhouse of Big12Sports.com, we're going around the Big 12 previewing the teams in the Big 12 Conference. So let's move on to Oklahoma. The Sooners, very disappointing year ago. A lot of people thought they'd win the Big 12. They might be the Big 12 representative in the inaugural four-team playoff. Just didn't turn out that way. 8-5, they ended up. Not a good performance at all in the bowl game. They looked disinterested, like they didn't want to be there. Bob Stoops has made changes on offense, and they're going to have a new starting quarterback, Baker Mayfield, the transfer from Texas Tech, replacing Trevor Knight. And it's just amazing how things can change so quickly in this business, Wendell, because Trevor Knight was the cat's meow, man. I mean, he was so good against Alabama in that bowl game, and the Sooner fans were super excited, and a lot of people around the nation saying, wow, Oklahoma's got their quarterback, and look out, see what they're going to do now, and Blake Bell can play tight end, and everything's going to work out. And it didn't, and so I don't think everybody's sleeping on the Sooners this year, but it seems like the expectations, certainly compared to last year, are tempered somewhat. Talk about the quarterback battle, how they came to Baker Mayfield being the starter over Trevor Knight, and could that really play in Oklahoma's hands, the fact that maybe they're a little bit under the radar?
I think they are, and Bob Stoops is usually pretty good. They usually have good seasons when people do think that their backs are against the wall, that Oklahoma's ready to, you know, put together a couple of mediocre seasons. They usually don't have back-to-back mediocre seasons. Now, whether or not they're going to be good enough to, you know, win the Big 12 and get into the college football playoff, that's yet to be seen. But, you know, I think last year really stung the Sooners, the fact that, you know, defensively, you know, they didn't get it done. Baylor just carved them up. And the five losses that they had last year, they gave up an average of 35 points. And, you know, that's kind of unheard of for an Oklahoma defense. So they've got to get some things fixed on that side of the ball, number one. And the other thing that's very intriguing is the changes they made offensively. You know, Bob Stoops, you know, back when they won the national championship in 2000, his first two seasons there, his offensive coordinator the first year was Mike Leach, and then he had Mark Mangino. And those guys ran a version of the air raid offense. They set Oklahoma fans on their ears, basically, because they were throwing the ball so much. I mean, Oklahoma, the wishbone team, the team that could rush for 500-600 yards a game, suddenly was throwing the ball all over the field and setting all sorts of passing records, and they won the national championship in 2000. And Stoops said in the offseason that he noticed that somehow they had gotten away from that, and that they didn't have that kind of offense. In fact, last year and the last couple of years, people wondered, what's this team's identity? Sometimes they'd be a running team, sometimes they'd be a passing team, and it just didn't seem like they had any consistency offensively, and there was a lot of question about play calling. So Stoops looked at the top offenses in the country and saw that like seven of them were variations of the air raid offense, guys that had been kind of in the Mike Leach coaching tree. And he went out and got Lincoln Riley, who was a walk-on quarterback who coached at Texas Tech and then was East Carolina. So he's come in, and they put in the air raid offense, which is interesting because they have Samaje Perine, a sophomore who led the team in rushing last year, set an NCAA single-game rushing record. You know, he's about 5'10", weighs about 240, probably cannot be tackled by anybody one-on-one other than maybe Baylor Sean Oakman. The guy is just strong and fast. So the question is, okay, you're going to want to throw the football 40, 50 times a game. Can you get Perine 30 carries a game? So I think they can because they're going to play fast. But that's one of those things that is going to be interesting to see how it develops. They, you know, they want to be more up-tempo. They want to spread the field more. If they can do that, they could be a little bit like Baylor, like we were talking earlier. That helps the running game if you can, you know, get the defense spread out. Baker Mayfield is an interesting story because, you know, this is the second time this guy has walked onto a Big 12 school and won the starting quarterback job. I mean, he did that at Texas Tech as a freshman. He was the freshman offensive player of the year, transferred to Oklahoma. Bob Stoops didn't even know he was transferring. I mean, he basically transferred to Oklahoma, walked on, and said, "Hi, Coach, I'm Baker Mayfield. I'd like to try out for quarterback." I mean, it was an incredible story there that, you know, it wasn't like Stoops went out and recruited him. He ran the scout team last year. He's familiar with this offense, and he won the job in the spring. Apparently, it was a really tight battle with Trevor Knight. And the interesting thing is that they are going to try to figure out ways to have an offensive package that features Trevor Knight, somewhat like Blake Bell with the Belldozer, And they've already come up with a name. It's going to be called the Knight Rider Package, if anybody remembers that stupid old TV show.
Oh, come on. Don't call it stupid. It was one of my favorite shows of all
okay,
time.
Fine,
I'm kidding. I like the show, but it's...
I'm older than you are. Yeah. Anyway, bottom line is that, you know, Mayfield showed that he, leadership-wise and just a little bit better passing-wise, that he's the guy to be quarterback. Now, whether or not Trevor Knight gets a lot of, you know, chances with his special little package, we'll see how that works out. But it's very interesting because there's so many unknowns for this Oklahoma team that they could be a real surprise team because we really don't know until – I think we'll know a lot more after 2 weeks because second week of the season they got to go play at Tennessee. After, if they can go in and beat Tennessee – then I think there's going to be a lot more momentum and interest starting to build up for the Sooners.
You mentioned the Sooners had problems with Baylor last year, and
yep.
If you're going to beat Baylor, you got to get a few stops defensively. What about the Sooners secondary? Can they match up with some of these high octane offenses?
Well, that's really what has to happen. They made some changes on the coaching staff. Mike Stoops, Bob Stoops' brother, is still a defensive coordinator, but instead of handling the secondary, he's going to take over the linebackers. They brought in a new secondary coach to work with the secondary. And also Mike Stoops is going to go from being on the sidelines during games to being up at the press box as far as calling defenses. I don't think he's ever done that. So those are the tweaks they're hoping to make. Look, they've got the talent to play. Last year they had some young guys, and last year you probably remember the Baylor game where one of the defensive backs came off the field and got into a shouting match with Mike Stoops. I think maybe because he didn't like the kind of coverages they were calling. When they played Baylor in the second half, they were back 10 yards off the receivers, and Bryce Petty said, okay, five-yard gain, fine. I'll just dink and dunk all the way down the field, and that's how they just carved it up in the second half. So there was a lot of frustration there for whatever reason. You know, obviously that has to get fixed. But, you know, Oklahoma does have, you know, a lot of talented players on defense. They have talented players on defense last year. They just couldn't seem to figure out a way, you know, to stop people. And, you know, against a team like Baylor, if Oklahoma's offense is going to get ramped up and be a little bit more similar to Baylor, if they can, you know, average 35, 40 points a game, you know, most of the high-scoring games, it comes down to can you get one or two stops when you need to, and particularly in the second half. And that's what this Oklahoma defense is going to have to prove they can do is – get enough pressure on a quarterback to, you know, force a bad throw on a third down play or break up the pass on third down or whatever and get the other team off the field to give their offense a chance. And I think that's really what a lot of defenses in the Big 12 are going to be focusing on this year against some of these high-powered teams is, look, you know, they're going to score points on us that are going to be three or four times in a game when we got to, you know, just get them off the field without scoring points and let our offense try to get some points when we give them the ball back. So that's really, I think, one of OU's key things this year is can the defense improve, because last year it just wasn't good enough.
Wendell Barnhouse of Big12Sports.com breaking down the Big 12 with us on the Sports Ticket, our college football preview week continuing today. Kansas State, interesting team. Every single year, it seems like they're picked a little bit lower in the Big 12 than what they maybe should be. At the end of the year, they usually overachieve. Bill Snyder going into the College Football Hall of Fame seems to get the best out of the talent that he gets to Manhattan. It seems like every other year they've got this two-year cycle recently where they're breaking in a new quarterback, and then the second year is always better than the first, which makes sense. But they named their quarterback on Tuesday. Jesse Ertz is going to be their starter. He doesn't have any experience for the most part in replacing Jake Waters. How do you see K-State? I mean, you look at K-State, if they could get off to a good start, and we had Stan Weber on the program yesterday, and he said, you know, if they get a 3-0 start and then go to Stillwater and get that win out Oklahoma State, suddenly you're 4-0 and you got some confidence, and you do, on your schedule, have TCU, Oklahoma, and Baylor all coming to Manhattan. And it's a weird schedule because their first four or five games are probably going to be the underdog. And then their last four games are going to be probably an overwhelming favorite for the most part, although West Virginia, K-State might be a bit of a 50-50 thing. How do you see the Wildcats faring this year?
Well, you know, you hit on a lot of the good points there. And I think, you know, first of all, anybody that bets against Bill Snyder is pretty stupid and is not going to go into any kind of Hall of Fame.
Yes.
I know that for a fact.
Right.
And, you know, if he has decided that Jesse Ertz is the best of the four quarterbacks that were competing, then I have to say that Bill Snyder knows what he's talking about. I think the interesting thing is that I think this is only going to be the third time that Snyder has ever had a quarterback that was not a junior or a senior. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, to me, that speaks to the fact that Ertz has been the best guy there. Now, does that mean that, you know, there weren't four really good quarterbacks there? I don't know. But I also heard some of the talk that they think that Ertz is kind of a combination of Jake Waters and Colin Klein, which wouldn't be too bad. Yeah. But apparently he's a pretty good runner, and he can throw the ball pretty well. And as Snyder said, they want somebody that's a combo quarterback, somebody that's a threat to run it and also be able to throw it. The question for me is, if Ertz is the guy, that's fine. And the running game will probably be okay, although the last couple of years it hasn't been all that great. But, you know, when you got to replace Tyler Lockett, who was, you know, the guy who was such a great go-to receiver and such a big play guy, you know, that's the key. It's kind of like, can you find other playmakers to help Ertz out? The offensive line should be fine. It's a veteran. They know what they're doing. That shouldn't be an issue. But, you know, Ertz has to have some guys getting open and catching balls and making plays, or it doesn't matter how good a quarterback he is. But, yeah, I think that, you know, there's so much to replace on offense that, you know, I wonder if it's too much to replace on offense. Yeah, I could see them getting off to a quick start and be 3-0, you know, as good as I think Oklahoma State is. Kansas State going to Oklahoma State, that would be, if they're 3-0 and come out of their 4-0, then I would, you know, frankly be really surprised. I wouldn't think that they could go to Oklahoma State and win. But, yeah, that would really set their season up nicely because, as you mentioned, they got a lot of those other really good teams coming to Manhattan. So, you know, I think that the non-conference is something that they should be able to get through and maybe get to be 3-0, but I think the challenge is really going to be when they get in the Big 12 play. And, you know, I got to figure Snyder's got something up his sleeve and some way that he's going to figure out how to make this happen. But, you know, I don't know how much magic he has as far as, you know, getting playmakers at wide receiver, because I think everybody's going to be comparing everybody that they run out there to Tyler Lockett, and there aren't any guys like that.
And they lost Kerry Sexton as well, who had over 1,000 yards receiving. They do have some experience back on the defensive side of the ball. 7-5 keeps jumping out at me. Is that what you see?
Yeah, I can see that being, particularly with as much as they lost offensively. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think getting to a bowl game would be an awfully good season. And I think then, you know, considering that you've got a quarterback, it's a sophomore who is going to be there for two more years, that would be a great springboard for success the next two seasons, because if you can get to a bowl game, you get those, you know, 15 extra practices and the experience of playing in a bowl game, so that just sets you up for 2016 even better. So yeah, I think, you know, if they can figure out a way to, you know, minimum go 6-6 to get to a bowl game, you know, I think that would be a really good season, because I mean, I don't know if there's another team in the country that's lost as much offense you know, from last year to this year that K-State did.
Across the state, the Kansas Jayhawks, the Vegas number for wins for KU is 1.5, and the odds for KU to win the Big 12, and this jumped out to me, Iowa State picked 9th. You saw this too, didn't you? Iowa State 33-1 to win the Big 12. Kansas 300-1. You go from 33-300-1 between Iowa State and Kansas. Obviously, nobody's expecting much out of the Jayhawks this year. They actually have less... They have fewer scholarship players in South Dakota State who they're going to play this weekend, and that might be their real true chance to get a W. I talked to somebody close to KU. Nate Bucati told me he thought Vegas was being generous with 1.5. There's a lot of other people saying, well, that's worth putting some money on because surely they can get 2. David Beatty is, I tell you what, I know Bill Snyder had a horrible situation here at Arrowhead at K-State, but there are people starting to say that David Beatty's inherited something similar to that with the train wreck that Charlie Weiss was as head coach there. I guess, what do you have to say about Kansas, Montel Cozart, their starting quarterback?
Well, you know, yeah, I think Kansas, it's going to be a tough season for David Beatty because of everything you just mentioned. And yeah, it's almost like taking over a team that's on probation because of the scholarship situation. And they just lost, they dismissed another guy today that was going to be one of their guys at cornerback. Boateng got kicked off the team. So, you know, I know they signed some guys late. They had a transfer from Miami that came in. They're still around, you know, 60 to 65 scholarship players, and that's, like you mentioned, that's about what an FCS team has. So they're 20 below Big 12 opponents. And, you know, I know that they're going to try to do everything they can. You know, I know they say, look, we're going to be the least penalized team in the Big 12. We're going to, you know, force the most turnovers, and we're going to try to be the best special teams. And, yeah, you can do all that and aspire to do all that, and maybe you can have the least penalized team, but you got to have some talent to force turnovers. I don't know if they've got enough defensively to do that. Yeah, I think Cozart might thrive in this air raid offense because it is a little bit of a, you know, just read and react, kind of a hair on fire thing where he's going to get the snap quarterback. He may take off running. He may see an open receiver and, you know, fire in the ball and see what happens. I know they're going to play very fast, up-tempo, and try to, you know, be a fun team to watch offensively. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, they just don't have depth or experience, and that's really going to be – it's going to be hard. I mean, they can start off playing really well. I think if they don't win this opener, I could maybe see them going winless because I just think it's going to be a really tough deal because, you know, if they start having injuries, then – it's going to be even worse because they barely have a solid two deep right now. And, you know, it just could be a real tough season. And yeah, it's a little similar to Snyder's situation. I mean, when Snyder started at K-State, it was really ground zero because there were no facilities that, you know, it was bad all the way around. Everything had to be built up. At least at Kansas, you know, they've got the facilities and they've got the wherewithal, and they, you know, they're in the Big 12, so they're going to be getting revenue sharing to help them, you know, as far as budget and all that kind of stuff, that, you know, things that Snyder didn't have his first year at K-State. And I think Beatty is going to really be able to make an impact recruiting wise in Texas because of his background as a high school coach, and, you know, he's been at Kansas twice before. He sort of knows, you know, he knows what Kansas football is. He knows it can be a winning situation. So, you know, I think all those things are going to factor into it. But this year is just one of those years where you just almost have to just cover up and hope you can, you know, just get through it. Because I think it's really going to be a tough year at Kansas.
I agree with you. Well, let's go with the other five teams in the Big 12. You've already touched upon Oklahoma State, and you're high on Oklahoma State, and their Big 12 opener is at home against Kansas State. Texas, Texas Tech, West Virginia, Iowa State. What stands out to you about those four programs and what you think they'll do this year?
Well, you know, Texas opening at Notre Dame, they released their roster of you know, kind of their depth chart. There's accounted 66 players listed on the depth chart, and there are 22 freshmen or redshirt freshmen of those 66. They're going to start six freshmen at Notre Dame, four of whom are true freshmen, and two of those freshmen who are true freshmen are on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want to talk about the situation in Kansas with the scholarships roster, I mean, Charlie Strong is almost starting over as far as having so many freshmen starting. And I think that's an indication of, you know, he is trying to build his program with his players. Basically, the players at Texas were told, look, if you're a veteran, if you're like a senior or junior, and you're even with a freshman at your position, the freshman's going to start. And so the juniors and seniors had to be exceptionally better than the freshmen. If it was a tie, it went to the freshmen. So that's going to be really interesting to see how this is going to play out. You know, it could be a real up-and-down kind of roller coaster season with so many young players. Tyrone Swoops is going to have to prove he's a better quarterback. A lot of people say that he has gotten better, but, you know, the last two games last season, he was really bad. I think his confidence was shaken. Hopefully they can get that built back up. But I could see Texas maybe regressing in win total this year. You know, they may not make it to a bowl game. I'm not sure. They've got a really tough opening schedule. Last year they started 2-4. They could do the same thing this year. So it's just going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Let's see, West Virginia, I think they are, like Oklahoma State, quite a dark horse team. They have a really good defense. Dana Holgorsen said that they finally got the kind of depth and talent to compete in the Big 12. When they first came into the Big 12, they had Big East depth and talent, and they had trouble competing. He finally thinks he's got the roster built up to where they're equal to Big 12 teams. I think their defense is second best, maybe only to Baylor in the Big 12, and maybe is one of the top 20, 25 defenses in the country. There's a lot of questions offensively because they got to replace Kevin White and Mario Alford at wide receiver, but Dana Holgorsen always has good receivers. He almost always has a 1,000-yard receiver. And Skylar Howard apparently is really meshing with Holgorsen's offensive philosophy and understanding what Holgorsen wants. So I really think West Virginia is going to be a pretty dangerous team to deal with. You know, the Texas Tech situation, they brought in another new defensive coordinator in David Gibbs from Houston. I don't really know what's going to happen with Texas Tech. They may be a bigger mystery team than Oklahoma. We don't know who their quarterback is as far as the starter is concerned. It's either Davis Webb or Patrick Mahomes. Apparently it'll be a game-time decision when they open up Saturday. They're always, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, his offense, they're going to score points a lot. Whether it's Webb or Mahomes, you know, they're going to be fine at quarterback and offensively. What they've got to do the last couple of years that they've, you know, when they've struggled recently and, you know, they got off to that 7-0 start, Kingsbury's first season, and since then it's kind of been downhill. They've made too many mistakes, too many penalties, too many turnovers. They got to start playing clean football. And even if they don't win enough games, I think they got to show people, particularly Texas Tech fans, that, hey, at least we're playing good football. We're not killing ourselves with penalties. We're not turning it over. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And, you know, Iowa State, they got to open up against Northern Iowa, which is a top 10 team in the FCS poll. And they've lost to an FCS team each of the last 2 years. And it's a little bit like Kansas. They can't afford to lose this game. If Iowa State is going to get back into the conversation as far as maybe winning a bowl game or being an upset, a team that can pull a big upset, they got to start out with a win Saturday. And that's not going to be easy because Northern Iowa is used to playing, you know, every year they either play Iowa or Iowa State. So, you know, this is a big game for them. They're used to it. And it's going to be a really challenging game for the Cyclones. But I think they need to get off to a 1-0 start to kind of give them some confidence and make them understand that, hey, you know what, we can get back into the mix as far as a possible bowl game.
Okay, Wendell, I'm going to go through the list of the games tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, and you tell me a Big 12 team that you think should be on upset alert, and you tell me a Big 12 team that might surprise somebody. Oklahoma State is on the road at Central Michigan tonight. TCU is at Minnesota tonight. Friday, tomorrow night, it is Baylor on the road at SMU. Kansas hosts South Dakota State on Saturday. Sam Houston State is at Texas Tech. Akron is at Oklahoma. South Dakota at Kansas State. You mentioned Texas in South Bend to take on Notre Dame primetime on Saturday. Georgia Southern at West Virginia. Northern Iowa is at Iowa State. And that is the schedule for the Big 12 the first week of the year.
You know, I think that, you know, Sam Houston State, I believe, is number two in the FCS. They're a really good team. And that, you know, a lot of people probably look at that game with Texas Tech and say, oh, that's a gimme. It's not. That's a game that Texas Tech had better be sharp and on their game. That's, you know, Sam Houston State's going to be out there thinking they've got a chance to win that game. So I don't know if I'd go so far as put it on upset alert, but that is going to be a tough game. And as I mentioned, that Northern Iowa-Iowa State game could be you know, a game that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Northern Iowa win that game. So Iowa State's got to be, they got to be locked and loaded for that game. The game where, you know, I think a Big 12 team could surprise, I think Notre Dame is a little overrated. I know SI has them picked for the college football playoff. I don't know if I see that. Now, it's really tough to go into Notre Dame and win. They've got a lot of mystique there, but the defensive coordinator for Texas mentioned that, you know, kids these days don't have any sense of history. He said, we got guys that don't even know who Earl Campbell is. And, you know, the fact is that, like, to most of these kids 5 years ago is ancient history. I don't know if they understand what Notre Dame is. And when you're playing so many young freshmen that are saying, hey, man, we're playing on national TV and we're, you know, this Notre Dame, big deal. We're just going to go out there and play. I think that is a game that could be closer than people expect. I don't know if Texas can pull off the win. But, you know, if their defense could get a couple turnovers early and they start rolling and they get a lot of enthusiasm built up, that could be a game that could be a surprise for the Big 12. So, you know, that would go a long way to kind of help the Big 12's reputation. I think on Labor Day, when everybody in the Big 12 is looking back at this weekend, you know, I don't think they want to be looking at, you know, 7-3. I think they want to be looking at 9-1 as far as the record and knowing that TCU and Baylor came through and looked like champion contenders that, you know, Oklahoma looked really sharp. Their offense was really cooking. And then Oklahoma State got their win on the road, and West Virginia looked pretty good. you know, if Texas plays Notre Dame really tough, even whether they win or lose, that would be the best case scenario. You know, last year early, you know, the Big Ten lost, Ohio State lost, Michigan State lost early, and everybody wrote off the Big Ten. So there's a lot of the season left to play if there are upsets this weekend, but I think you'll the national talk, if the Big 12 struggles, will be, see, that's why they weren't in the playoff last year. They're not that good. So just for the psyche of the conference, I think they need to get off to a really good start this weekend.
Do you think the Big 12 will have a representative in the playoff this year?
Yeah, I think they will. And, you know, the thing that they would have had one in last year. It's not always just about the Big 12.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
The fact that everything went, it was an imperfect storm for the Big 12. The fact that, you know, from covering college football for so many years in the BCS, the last week of the season that Saturday, there was almost always one or two upsets.
Yeah.
It never played out the way you thought it would. I mean, LSU got in, in 2007 or whenever it was, with two losses. I mean, there are a lot of times when teams needed two or three teams to lose to get into the BCS, and it happened. And that's what the Big 12 needed last year, and it didn't happen. So it depends on, you know, I don't think the ACC is nearly as strong. I don't think Florida State is, you know, going to be as good as they were in the last couple of years. You know, maybe the ACC will be the conference that gets shut out this year. But, you know, we're going to have to wait and see how things play out in other conferences. I think that there's a Big 12 team, either Baylor or TCU, that can go through maybe undefeated with one loss. And if that's the case, I think they're going to be in great shape. But again, it's going to depend on what the other four conferences do. And, you know, the other kind of specter out there is Notre Dame. If they get in the playoff, then that's two major conferences that get shut out of the playoffs, and that won't sit very well. But, you know, Texas could get that. They could squash that real quick if they go to South Bend and win on Saturday. So, I think that the worm will turn, so to speak, for the Big 12 this year, and I think the breaks will go their way, and I think we'll have a Big 12 team make it into the 14 playoff this year.
I'm glad the Big 12 didn't overreact like some fans wanted them to overreact.
Yep.
Because of what you just said. And there was a scenario there at one point where you could have maybe had two Big 12 teams that would have been in the four, and then Bob Bowlsby and the Big 12 looks like geniuses. So you got to see if it's a trend or if it's a fluke. I think it's a fluke personally, but you could have a team, like you said, Dave, you could have one or two losses and get in compared to what happened last year. And of course, the co-champions, that didn't help either, I don't think. And we've cleared that up this year if there is a tie.
Right.
Okay, time for off-the-wall question. Wendell, the Royals have been afflicted with chicken pox.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Kelvin Herrera, Alex Rios, hopefully nobody else will be out for a couple of weeks. Have you had the chicken pox, or are you going to have to stay away from athletes that may get the chicken pox?
Well, I don't think I'm going to be around the Major League Clubhouse at Kauffman Stadium, or is it Royal Stadium?
I don't know. It spreads like wildfire. Look out, man.
But I'm not going to be there. But I you're asking me to remember an awful long time ago. But I think I don't know if I had the mumps and the chicken pox, or the mumps or the chicken pox.
Oh.
I'm not really sure.
Ooh.
But I don't believe that I'm scheduled to get anywhere near Kansas City while the epidemic is there. There are other people that are more danger than I am, I think.
So you're not sure. You're not sure if you've had it or not. So they say it's worse for adults. So if
it'll probably, you know, I may go on the 60-day DL. I don't know if I get it. I mean, you know, but if it's worse for adults, because I'm definitely an adult. There's no doubt about that. 61-year-old adult, so I can't afford the chicken pox. But no, I've got. I hope that the. I hope things turn out well for the Royals. They've had such a good season, and things have gone so well. It's one of those things where you kind of went, uh-oh, is this kind of where all the good stuff starts turning a little bit? So hopefully it's just those two guys and it doesn't spread anymore. And I was really surprised that I didn't know that it hurt affected adults more.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they were out 2 weeks, kind of, wow, that's really serious. So that makes sense if it hurts adults more to have that, then I guess being out 2 weeks is what the deal is. So,
well, you're young at heart. If you're 61, you're still young at heart, and I'm sure sports makes that.
I'm 61 going on 16 half the time.
There you go. That's good. Share with everybody where they can read your work and learn more about what you do, man.
Big12Sports.com and at Big 12 Conference is our Twitter feed, and I post on there as hashtag Big 12 Insider. But Big12Sports.com, and we have this year we're going to have more content than ever for a number of different reasons. So we are cranking out videos and story previews and notes packages. So just go to Big12Sports.com, and that's where you can find a lot of that stuff.
Wendell, always a pleasure. We enjoy having you on the program. Thanks for the time, and hopefully we have a lot of good things to cover in the Big 12 this year.
I'm hoping that too, and love to do it again if you need me.